kayo'y nakikinig sa SBS Filipino. Pakinggan niyo pa ang kwento sa sbs.com.au/filipino.
Today is Thomas McIntyre, Executive Director of Service and Strategy and Growth for Act for Kids. And we are going to talk about one of the things we wouldn't think that we'd need to discuss with our children, which is consent. Good day, Thomas.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, too. First of all, consent. This is one of the words that I have never, ever imagined that I would have to discuss with a young child. First of all, can you explain how important the word consent is?
Look, I think it's really important, and some of our research has shown that because you're a child, adults often don't respect the fact that you're the boss of your body, and to be touched or scruffed or whatever the language is by an adult without consent is probably not okay. If you wouldn't do it to another adult, why do we do it to children? And it's kind of understanding that kids love physical affection and they like being touched, but they have a right to say no.
But it's one of those difficult things to discuss with a toddler, for say. So when do we start discussing consent?
Look, it's really important for the 0 to 4 year old kids because sadly, most sexual abuse, or a lot of sexual abuse to children, happens to kids in that 0 to 4 age range, and perpetrators able, if kids don't have a language or they don't understand what's appropriate and how to give consent, perpetrators can exploit that, and kids are more vulnerable. Our research shows that over half parents believe that kids shouldn't be taught about consent until they start school, whereas where does that leave the 0 to 4 year olds, and how do we best do that? There's very safe ways of doing it that are age appropriate. There's very safe ways to do it that kids can understand. We don't have to be too explicit, but we can use age-appropriate language. We can use cartoons and ways of talking about body parts in a really respectful and safe way.
Because I wouldn't think that I would need to discuss that with my child between 0 to 4, because that child would always be with me. But these are different times, isn't it?
Look, sadly, most of harm to children happens by people who know them. It's not strangers. It's not random. So sadly, often the perpetrators are known to kids. And what we're saying for those early years is often, it's really reinforcing to kids that if they're not comfortable with a particular situation, then say no and then talk to a safe adult, talk to a parent. But also have a language around that. Actually talk about the proper anatomical names for body parts so that kids can go to a safe adult and say, something happened to me today. I was touched on a certain part of my body and I didn't like it.
I remember as a child, my parents, in our family, we appropriated different body parts and gave it like different names, not the same name as an adult would give it. So would you think that that would be effective?
Yes and no. Look, some conversation is better than no conversation, but research actually does show using the proper anatomical language for private parts is really important. Because that if they go to another safe person, be it a teacher or someone else in their lives, and they're using a family language that no one else understands, and it's probably not going to be effective when they're reaching out for help. They're reaching out for a safe adult to give them some advice or take some action. If the adult doesn't understand what they're saying, it's not effective at all.
And I suppose as children, there's this thing that you are meant to be innocent. Innocence, that is one thing that parents are trying to preserve, a child's innocence. So how can we do that at the same time as educating them about things about the importance of privacy, private parts, personal space?
Look, I think it's fundamental in any age. Any child has a right to say no, even if it's Uncle Phil or Grandma or someone else. If they're not, as you and I would do, if someone was approaching us in a way that we're not comfortable, as an adult and a mature person, we would say no. So it's giving our children the understanding of how to do that, but also that they have a right to do that.
How can we do it in a culturally specific way? Because we all know that here in Australia, we have different cultures and we have different ways of approaching it. So what's the first step that we should do so that we could educate our children about consent, privacy, and respecting your space?
Look, I think it can be done within a community lens, regardless of which community and what culture. I think the language can be used within the context of that child's world and who are the safe people. Notwithstanding, there's some complexity, as I just alluded to, in schools where a teacher may or may not come from a particular community. So it's still important that the kids have a language that they can use inside their community, but also, they're also participants in a bigger world as well, aren't they? So the main message, I suppose, is it's okay for kids, and it's important that kids understand what is the anatomical names for the parts of their body, because it's very different to be tapped on the head, to be tapped on another part of your body, and to be able to say no. So how that's done within a cultural context or a particular community, it's certainly not my place to comment, because I come from my own world, but I'm sure those communities can find that bridge and understand how important it is.
So you're saying to be particular with things that are off limits to other people?
And there's different language in different communities, I'm sure, that we certainly encourage people to use, use penis and vagina, because they're medical terms, they're anatomical words that will kids can use and feel comfortable using. An arm or a leg is another anatomical word. So it's just being a little bit comfortable, obviously doing it in an age appropriate way, but giving children the right age to say no, but be, when it's not okay, have some language to say, this is what happened to me, so a safe adult can take action on that.
So education and information is the most effective tool.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of research that says, again, it's the hard end, where sex offenders do, when a child is articulate in that stuff, they tend to, this child is not as vulnerable and they are less likely to offend. So it is just having an awareness. We don't need kids to know any more than they need to know at a particular age, but simply knowing what the body parts are, what they're called, and if you feel uncomfortable, go to a safe adult and say no to the person at the time is a really strong place to start.
There's no other best day or time to start than now.
Always, yeah. The younger, as I said, sadly, a lot of victims of sexual abuse are in that 0 to 4 age group. We certainly would really appeal to the education systems across Australia to really embed some good evidence-based curriculum around consent and build on what families are doing at home. Families certainly are the teachers of kids in this space. Schools can build on that and make it more a community response. We're certainly not expecting parents to defer to schools, but schools can build on it.
Thank you very much, Thomas McIntyre from Act for Kids.
Awesome. Thank you very much for your time and the opportunity.
Nice yung bang makinig na iba pang kwento na tulad ito? Makinig sa Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, o sa iba pang podcast apps.